Welcome to But I'm a Lesbian, the podcast where we serve alt baddie sass, queer film reviews, and everything in between. Whether you are a baby gay
or a queer elder, we're here, we're queer, and we're diving deep into all things lesbian. We're your hosts, Caitlin
and Angelina.
Get ready for some sapphic serotonin. So today's episode centers on the 2003 film Monster. This film dramatizes the real-life story of Eileen Wuornos, a queer serial killer. This movie features my first crush, Christina Ricci, playing Eileen's girlfriend, Angelina. Do you remember your first celebrity crush?
Yes. I remember you saying that Christina Ricci was your – and the other one from My Girl.
Yeah, because both movie. Of them played like kind of tomboy characters at some point, and I was only attracted to them in the tomboy character version.
You're so, like this.
Christina Ricci and Now and Then as Roberta, who then grows up to be Rosie O'Donnell. Mm-hmm. Loved her. And then Anna Chlumsky from My Girl played in a movie opposite Christina Ricci. Christina Ricci was like her femme friend. Ooh. And the movie was called Gold Digger's Escape from Bear Mountain, I think. And it was so gay. And Anna Chlumsky played like this like masked 12-year-old. I don't know. I was into it when I was 5.
You were anyway. Like, this is everything.
Yes. I was like, why am I so attracted to this?
I remember, I think I told you, and I'm blanking on the main character's name, but the Babysitter's Club, the movie. Okay. The main character where she's like...
Christy.
No, but like her, the actor. Yes, her, but the actor's name. I don't remember her name. Oh. But then also Rachel Lee Cook in there. I liked both of them there. Yeah. Yes. And I was just like, oh my God, yes. Okay. I used to watch that movie and I was like, oh my God, I want to dress just like her and be Christy. And so then I would, but then I was like, no, I think I like her, but I can just pretend she's a boy, guys.
Yes. Okay. That's so funny. So I went through like a tomboy phase, but it was weird because I don't like sports and I'm not like a tomboy at all. But I feel like I did it because my best friend was kind of a tomboy and I thought she was really cool. She was my friend that loved Sporty Spice. So I pretended I also love Sporty Spice, but I hate sports. I loved Scary Spice because she had cool, beautiful hair.
She
and
did.
I loved when she would do the two like little like horns almost. Oh, and she always wore leopard. I'm like inspired by her. and then I always had to be Baby Spice when we would play Spice Girls because I was blonde. Mm-hmm. And this was also weird body shaming. I remember in like second or third grade, my friends were like, you have to be Baby Spice because you have chubby legs and she has chubby legs. And I look at her and I'm like, she wasn't even chubby, first of all. I was a chubby kid, but like, what rudos?
That is pretty rude to say that. But I think you're right. We had a different perception of what we consider chubby and like
she looks skinny
because she's literally
me.
Just like a regular body. And it's funny that you said that because obviously we had like different experiences, but in elementary there was this girl that was very like tomboyish and she would wear like her hair in a ponytail.
Yeah.
And she had like this shirt.
I'm a girl. I'm wearing a
she's
ponytail.
She's like wearing a ponytail, but she was very like everyone liked her. Like they didn't really consider her like a tomboy, even though that's like how she presented herself. Like she was cool with everyone. And I remember one time she came to school and she had this shirt on and it was showing like the littlest bit of her stomach. And she kind of had like sort of like not like, like she had like some weight
belly.
On her. Yeah. And I saw that and I was like, I need to be like that. I was so inspired by her. And I was like trying to dress like her, but I had no shirts that showed my stomach. Like it wasn't like a crop top, but it was just like a little bit. So then I was just like, what do I do? Like, how do I get it to be that way? But also my mom was like, why do you want to show your belly? No, like girl, no. But I remember thinking she was so cool. And I was like, oh my God, I just want to hang out with you. And she loved soccer. And so I tried to play soccer. And it didn't work.
I love soccer too.
Because she was like really into it. Like she knew all the terminology and she knew how to play. And I was like, oh, I play handball. So I'm
a
little
God, I love
sporty.
Handball.
I was like, if you get me on the court for handball, I know exactly what you're talking about. But when it came to soccer, I was so afraid of getting hit in the face and looking stupid. But I was just like, I'm willing to give it a try. I'm sporty, if you couldn't tell. Like, I'm like, you know.
Super sporty girl.
Yeah. So we both tried things that was not us.
Dang, there was something else I was going to say about it, and I don't remember what it is. I'll probably remember at some point. But, yeah, I never even tried to play soccer. Oh. I just
– You were like, I'm going to just
– like sporty stuff. I don't know. It was weird. I did have, like, a baseball mitt at some point because my grandpa would, like, teach me to, like, play catch or whatever. Mm-hmm. He bought me, like, a lefty baseball mitt because I'm a left-handed person. If you guys didn't know that. Fun fact about me.
We're no one cares. Both left-handed.
Right?
Yes, it is.
Yes. I like being left-handed. I think it makes me special, even though I think that I was kind of forced to be left-handed. But
oh, they wanted you. But then that's okay. I mean, maybe you can also be where you can use your right hand. I'm forgetting. I'm blanking on the name. Oh,
well, I only use my right hand for cutting, but mm-hmm. I think that's because there was never left-handed scissors around when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I always use the regular scissors. So I use my right hand to cut. But I'm also not good at cutting anything in a straight line, no matter what hand. So
I have a question.
What?
Do you – I know that there was another – one of my other coworkers, mm-hmm. she's left-handed. She puts her mouse on the left-hand side. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. I just do the right because to me it like sort of makes sense. But she says it's so hard for her to do that, so she does the left. You don't ever – have you ever tried that?
It's on the right.
Yeah.
I'm all looking. It's on the right. Curious, and like, then I type with both.
Yeah, I do
hands,
both.
Obviously.
Yeah.
I'm like, duh, 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 duh. no offense if you type like that, but I doubt
She's
it.
She's a real typer. She can do like 100 words per minute.
Yeah. Guys. I'm a really
No, I fast actually
typer.
Bet you do. Like, I'm not even joking.
I am so fast, like clickety clack. Anywho, do you have a hot take or a burning desire that you are desperate to share?
Yes, my burning desire is for both Eileen and Selby.
Okay.
I want them both. Oh. That's my only thing. I'm sure there's like more. I have opinions more like later on, but honestly, it's just like watching this again at each stage of your life, you mm-hmm. realize just genuinely how much. If I were Selby, I would have never freaked the fuck out if she was killing men. I think they deserved it, and that may be different. I fully support Eileen. I would be on the run with her and helping her. Like, girl, what do we need to do so you don't get caught and we can live together happily ever after?
I know. All I think of when you said that, like, I don't care that she's killing men, is like, you know, in Jennifer's Body, when the friend is like, you're killing people. Me, and she's like, no, I'm killing boys.
Literally.
It's okay. Yeah.
She's like, no, they're not.
It's
real.
Just boys. But yeah, that was kind of my hot take.
That's your hot take.
I mean, I don't think this is, to some circles, this probably is a hot take, but I feel like most of them deserved it. They were creepy. The first guy was definitely, obviously, a rapist. He obviously deserved it. The other guys were creepy weirdos that take advantage of women in shitty situations, and I don't approve of that. Yeah. The only one that I felt bad for was the very last one because, as they show in it, she was kind of in this desperate spot where it was like she had to do it, and she didn't even want to do it.
But she had to.
And obviously, I don't know everybody involved in the real life case, so, you know, but I think it's weird when people are like, I have a favorite serial killer, like, oh, I love Jeffrey Dahmer. Like, that's weird. You like
That is
murderers.
Weird. You're a weirdo.
But
I'm a loser.
if there's ever one you're like kind of allowed to like, I would say it would be someone that is avenging women who have been sexually assaulted, right?
Yes.
Like, when she got when she got convicted is when she had that outburst in court in real life. If you guys haven't seen this, look up Eileen Wuornos, like court, where she was like, okay, judge, I hope you rot in hell. Like you are sentencing a raped woman to death. Like, are you kidding me? You know? Yeah. And, it makes me want to cry.
It's sad.
She had a really shitty life, and not everybody that has a shitty life should just kill people. But I feel like most of those people were really bad people. So
I agree.
That was my other second hot take kind of went along with yours because I just remember that everyone talked about how ugly they made Charlize Theron in this, and I thought she still looked so hot. And so
there was
wrote,
something about her when she was on screen. I'm like, I need to be with you.
Yeah, I was like, also Charlize still is hot as fuck in this.
She is.
Yeah, I do sometimes when I wake up and my hair looks kind of crazy.
You're like,
and
giving
I used
to
not have eyebrows, I would always be like, oh my God, I look like Charlize Theron.
Oh my God.
And I feel bad, but it's because I wake up and my hair just does this natural trashy, like, weird it's 70s slept in look. Thing, like how she would do her hair in the bath in yeah. the bathroom. Okay. Anyway, if you haven't seen this movie, you need to see it. It's a classic. I love it a lot. So I think that's really important.
Yeah, we love this movie.
We love this movie. I was so excited to get to talk about it. It also inspired my outfit. We can talk about it a little later. Yeah. But okay, now we get to take a break. I was so excited I was going to skip the break and go right into the recap. I was like, you guys, I'm ready. So we're going to take a quick break now. And when we get back, we'll get into the recap. So don't move. We'll be back quicker than a lesbian falling in love on the first date. This week, we are discussing Monster, a 2003 film that Charlize Theron won an Academy Award, a Golden Globe, and a SAG Award for.
Well deserved.
Yeah, she also won all the awards in my heart. As a 13-year-old, when this came out, I was like, wow.
This is immediately my favorite.
Yes. Okay, we'll get into the recap. So basically, like I kind of mentioned in the beginning, if you don't know, this is based on a real person. Her name was Eileen Wuornos. She was actually a sex worker. She was actually convicted of killing multiple men, and she was put to death. I believe she was put to death in 2002. Like, she died – well, she was sentenced to death before that, but she actually was – like killed by the state in 2002. And then the film came out like right after. And so in this movie, she refers to herself as Lee the whole time, which I think she did go by Lee in some of the documentaries I've seen. Mm-hmm. So we open on baby Eileen Wuornos, and she's like kind of narrating it, and she's talking about how she always wanted to be a star. As she was getting older, she started doing things to get attention and get attention from boys. And really, she's kind of explaining how she ended up in sex work. Mm-hmm. She didn't have a great like family life, obviously, because she was just out there in the woods doing these things. Mm-hmm. Ended up doing them for money and stuff. In real life, I don't think they exactly mention it in the book, but like, yeah, she was like, had probably an abusive family, potentially an incestuous, like, abusive relationship. Mm-hmm. She did have, like, a baby when she was, like, 13 that I think was put up for adoption.
Yes.
At some point, her family had, like, kicked her out, and she was, like, living in the woods. So she was, like, a homeless teen sex worker living in the woods in, like, I don't even know what state this was. Somewhere cold, because she was not in Florida. Yeah. The movie takes place in Florida, but she didn't move to Florida until she was an adult. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, she had a rough life. So she kind of gives us this little backstory, and then we go to what was the present day of when the movie is set, which is, like, early 90s. Mm-hmm. And we see grown-up Lee, so Charlize Theron without eyebrows, and she, like – so I'm so mad about this still. She was supposed to be, like, kind of fat. In this, like, they were like, what? She had to gain 35 to 40 pounds and blah, blah, blah. And I remember there's a scene in here where she's like doing like a bath in like
in the bathroom, in the sink. Yeah.
And I'm like, girl,
she's not.
Her body looks like better than my body now. And I've lost a lot of weight to get to where I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, girl. This was fat in 2003. Like, yeah. This goes back to, like, apparently, what I was talking about. Apparently, yeah. Baby Spice was the chubby one. Yeah. I was so confused by that. So, I don't know. People are ridiculous. We see she's under, like, an overpass. Mm-hmm. And she has a gun, and it's, like, raining. And she's just kind of, like, looking at the gun. And so we're like, what is she going to do? Mm-hmm. But then she decides to go into a bar. And so she goes into this bar where there's this girl, Selby, who is Christina Ricci, looking so hot. I don't know. I just love her.
Okay, did you hear what they said? I know how you said that, like, they wanted to make Charlize their own, like, ugly and fat and, yeah. like, which is so not true because we think she's hot.
Yeah, she's so hot.
They said the same for Christina Ricci, too, where they were like, yeah, they wanted to, like, to them – looking masculine as a woman was like making them look like undesirable.
Well, because it's all so like,
but to us, we're like, oh my God, they're so hot.
Yeah. It took me so many years to understand that like being attracted to masculinity doesn't mean that I'm attracted to men.
Yes.
I am not attracted to men. I am attracted to women that have like masculine traits.
Yeah.
But I could never. It's called But I'm a Lesbian because I'm a lesbian. I could never have a relationship with a man. Like, what did Kate Minnig say? Like, I don't want a man in my house.
Yes. Like, she's like, what do you do? Like, coming home from work or whatever and just seeing a man there. Like, I don't want a man there.
Disgusting.
And I'm like, yeah, that would piss me off. Like, you like, have a hard a fucking day. Yeah, you had the worst fucking day of your life and you get home and you see a man there.
I know.
That's like a horror story to me.
I know. And literally, he probably did nothing all day, even though I shouldn't say that because I do nothing. Or even if
he did
too,
if he did anything at all, just if he's just there.
He's just probably stinky.
And it makes me think of like the people that like some celebrities say like, oh, I am, like they're not gay. And I'm like, okay, I get that. Whatever. I mean, everyone has their own preferences.
Julia Fox.
Huh? No, that's not who I was thinking of. Oh. But I'm trying to remember exactly who it was. But I remember they did an interview and they're like, I have a separate house than my husband. Like, we have separate houses.
Oh, that's so
we
funny.
Love each other, but we are separate. And I'm like, in my head, I'm like, yeah. If that were the, like, I can see that. She, even as a straight woman, she wants to protect her peace.
Yes. So. But with it being a woman, I'm like, I can't be away from you for, like, more than a few hours. My God. I'm like,
that would
hurt
my feelings so much. Even if it was, like, a separate room. I'm like, why?
I'm all sad because my wife is downstairs while we're in the pod loft. And I'm like, my baby, I'm
you're like,
hurt.
Just have moi here.
You need to be here. My emotional support. Anyway, I don't know how I... Oh, yeah, because we were talking about how they tried to make them look unattractive because it's very male gaze, whatever. Mm-hmm. Even though, are we going to act like studs and masks don't get hit on by men all the time?
They get hit on so much.
Exactly. Yes. So it's like, oh, they're ugly to men. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. No. Okay, anyway, so we see Selby at the bar, Christina Ricci. It's definitely a lesbian bar because it looks like only lesbians around. And I mean, it's like... flannel, hats.
They're trying to make it very, very obvious that this is lesbian.
Lee walks in to get a beer and she's like all like soaked in water because she was outside in the rain. And Selby comes up to talk to her and because Selby was like all alone, which was kind of sad because she was kind of like watching these other lesbians that were like a group and she was like all alone and sad. And I was like, oh my God, this is sad because I mean, I've never been to a lesbian bar, but I have definitely, like, felt like I only had straight friends and I've seen groups of queer friends and I was like, how do I get to be part of their group, you know? And it was also before I was on antidepressants and anti-anxiety medication, I was very, very, like, socially awkward where I would just sit there being, like, sad and jealous. Like, I wish I had friends, but I'm not going to go up and talk to them. Anyway, so she was kind of, like, by herself, which was sad. So she goes up to walk up to Lee because Lee walked in by herself and Lee's basically like, I'm not a dyke. Like,
you're not going to get to fuck me.
And she's like, I'm just trying to have like a fun night. Like I'm not.
Also good on Selby for like going up to her. She's like, just can we talk?
Yeah.
Like just human connection, please. I'm not a man. I don't want to immediately assume you want
to
fuck me.
Yes. And so also I forgot to note that Selby's arm is broken. That's kind of important later on. And so they spend the whole night drinking and like they're having so much fun. And then the bar closes and they have to leave. And then Selby's like, do you, like, want to come to my house and stay over? And she's like, okay. Mm-hmm. I don't know if she can kind of tell that Lee is, like, maybe homeless or she just wants her to come over because she likes her. I don't know.
I feel like at this point, since they try to make it seem like Selby is kind of oblivious to a lot of things, like, in the beginning, I feel like she just thinks that, like, Lee is not from there or she's like, you know, traveling and she's like, this person's talking to me. She seems cool and I want to invite her over.
Yeah.
And Lee's obviously like, well, I could use like a place to stay.
Yes, you know? For sure. And so then Lee like is narrating this, you know, and so she says, I was going to kill myself that day, like when I was under the bridge with the gun, but I decided not to because I had this $5 in my pocket. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I probably gave somebody a blowjob or a handjob or whatever mm-hmm. for this $5. I'm going to fucking spend it. Mm-hmm. Like I had to do work for this. Mm-hmm. And so she went in to get the beer and that's when she met Selby. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote, Selby is creepy and staring and touching Lee's face when they're like,
yeah.
After like, they go to the house and then I think she tells Lee, like, you could take a shower. And then they, like, lay in the bed together and, like, you know, they're just kind of, like, laying, like, awkwardly. And then Selby is, like, she's, like, I don't really know what to do. Like, but she's, like,
never,
I mean, I don't never know.
Had that.
She's, like, I've never had a girl in my bed before. What do I do?
She's just, like, touch her face.
But it's really sweet because I feel like she thinks that Lee is, like, so beautiful. And she does say that later. She's like, oh, my God. Like, a woman like you. Da-da-da. Mm-hmm. And it's so sweet. Anyway. So in the morning, they basically show us, like, these family friends that Selby is, like, staying with. So mm-hmm. she's, like, has a room in this house that belongs to this, like, family, this, like, kind of Christian-y family. Mm-hmm. And I feel like her family sent her there because they found out she was gay.
Yes.
Is what they kind of explain later. So anyway, they see Lee there. They freak out because they're like, you have a woman in here. And also they're like, she's a street person. And mm-hmm. they're like really rude and they like, I don't know. So Lee leaves and then Selby like runs after her and they like kind of make like a hangout date mm-hmm. that they're going to hang out that night. And so then Lee goes to her storage unit and the manager guy is like her friend and he gives her a sandwich and she's like, hey, I'll blow you for it if you want it. And he's like, no. And I feel like it's so sad because they're just showing that I feel like anytime a man has shown any sort of kindness to her, she feels that they want something sexual out of her.
She has to,
because that's like been her whole life.
Yeah.
And so then we cut to the scene I was talking about, Lee doing a little bath in the sink at the gas station. Mm-hmm. And I wrote about how I was like, she looks skinny and I don't understand how we were how supposed to think she was fat.
Yeah.
And she's doing her little 80s hair that sometimes I wake up with. and then she goes to meet Selby at the skating rink and they have fun and they end up like making out. And
which is so
like,
cute.
It's like really cute and also like kind of hot. Like they're both really into making out in like the outside alleyway, whatever. And then, they want to get a hotel room so that they can have sex, but they have no money. And so Lee is like, I need to go make money. And then I'll like, we can hang out the next night and I'll get us a hotel. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I thought was funny is that they skate to Don't Stop Believing by Journey. Mm-hmm. And my wife calls this the white people anthem. Yeah. So accurate.
That's funny.
Anytime it's playing, white people will
like
flock. Like we've been like on Bourbon Street. If a bar is playing that, like white people flock in from the streets. They're like
this is our song.
Yeah.
Or that or the other one.
Which one? Is it Bon Jovi?
Sweet Caroline.
Oh.
I've heard it. Yes, everyone gets so hyped when they do that. And I'm like, oh.
Another one that they recently put on a commercial, I think this is kind of like a country white person song, is the, oh my God, wait, how does it go? It's like, I can't remember it. How does it go? It's like, oh, take me home.
Oh, country road.
Country road.
Oh, yeah.
it's also so bumpkin. But anyway. I like that it was the white people anthem that they were
skating to.
Yeah. And so then we see the next day Lee is working to get some money and she gets picked up by a guy and he is an evil rapist. You can kind of tell he's like weird at first, but she has to deal with weird guys all the time.
So it's like nothing new.
Yeah, but then this guy is like really violent and evil and a sadist and he basically almost kills her. And she ends up missing her date with Selby and she kills the guy in self-defense mm-hmm. and steals his car. And then she goes to get Selby from the house that she's staying at and mm-hmm. they basically like run away together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, moving at lesbian speed for real.
They really did, though. Because Selby doesn't really know, but she's just like, fuck it, I'll go with you.
Yeah, because like, I think at first she was like, you stood me up. And she's like, no, like a lot of things happened. She's like,
so many things happened,
yeah,
girl.
But she doesn't want to tell her, which is like also so sad because it's like she, I think, has this, like she views Selby as like this like, kind of like innocent little soul that she wants to protect. She doesn't want to tell her like what happened to her, and that's so sad.
I know.
And so then they get a hotel room to stay in, and they go to a bar, and Lee is like, this here's my girlfriend. And for some reason I remembered it for literally 20 years. I remembered her going, this is my bitch. And I was quoting it like that to people. And I think people were just going along with it because they were like, yeah. Oh, she loves that movie. That must be what happens. No, that does not happen. And I am kind of famous for
that's okay. Getting I was going to say wrong. You are. But that's okay. So, you made it your own. Okay.
So in my mind, she's like, hey, this is my bitch. She's like, but she is giving definitely like, daddy energy.
She
but
is.
Like,
she is.
I'll protect you.
Like, I got you,
I made
Selby.
The money for you. Yeah. And so, let's see. Oh, whoa. I went so far ahead in my notes somehow. Okay. So then the next day we see Selby sneaking into the house, the friend's house, where she was staying because she's trying to get her stuff. And the bitch lady who we found out is named Donna.
Yeah, fuck Donna.
Yeah, makes her talk to her dad on the phone. And she's like, I'm not, like, coming back. Like, I made a friend or – I don't even remember what she says.
She's just like, goodbye.
Yeah.
Like, I'm done with this.
And then we see – like, we cut to a different scene. We see Lee burning evidence and stuff. And then she comes in and – into the hotel room and tells Selby, like, I'm quitting sex work. And Selby's like, well, what do I do? What are we supposed to do about money? Like, I spent all the money. And I remember that even though I think Christina Ricci is really pretty and I think that she's a style icon in this movie, I think Selby is a fucking cunt bitch. I hate her.
Selby definitely had a lot wrong with her, and I agree, because if that were like, yes, she's something else.
I just can't imagine like telling someone that they need to go like do something they don't want to do.
Yeah, because she was definitely over it.
Yeah, yeah. Especially something that is so traumatizing as being with like these gross men.
Yeah.
And that they need to do that to support me.
Like I would go get a job.
She's
I'd
like,
get
I can't get
jobs.
A job because I have a broken arm. You can get a fucking job.
You can get
like,
a job.
I just feel like she's lazy and I don't like her. And I feel like she just instantly wants Lee to like take care of her. And
because she's
stupid.
Like, you got all this money. Oh my God. And like, you're my girlfriend and you said you do all this stuff. And yes, I found out that you're doing sex work, but like, can you
keep doing
it
for me? Yeah.
I'd be like, no, what the fuck?
Yeah, okay. I think that's really weird.
But
also,
poor Lee is like, yeah. Oh, okay, like, I'll
I feel like
do
she
it.
Like loves her.
I know,
like,
and that's why like, it's oh. Like, yeah.
So then she, yeah, I wrote a lot about how I don't
how you
like
dislike Selby.
Selby.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't blame you.
And so Lee is all excited to go get a regular job, like a non-sex work job. And we can tell she's kind of like delusional, but also she's very uneducated.
Yeah.
She's like, I'll just be a vet or maybe I'll be the president of the United States. And it's like, well, I mean, I guess you don't really have to have a political background to be the president of the United States.
You
know,
you could be a felon and be the president of the United
States. Yeah, apparently. But, I mean, she's also a woman. So that stacks against her in the eyes of a lot of America. So it when she said she wanted to be the vet or a president, it reminded me of this girl I knew. She had this boyfriend that was, like, such a loser. I think they got married. So then it was a husband that was a loser.
Oh.
And he didn't have a job. And she was like, oh, he's going to apply at the state hospital. And I was like, oh, like, to do what? Like, be, like, an aide or something? Like, you need to, like, go to school to be, like a psych tech? And she's like, no, he's going to be a psychiatrist. And I was like,
what the fuck?
Like, a doctor? And she's like, yeah. And I was like,
they're going to train him and give him a fucking degree.
So like,
in that?
Does
okay.
he have a, does he have like a doctorate in anything? And she's like, no, but like he went to Cuesta. Oh, I shouldn't say that. He went to junior college. And I'm like, oh my God. Okay. This guy also robbed a store one time, and she told me that she's pretty sure that the reason he robbed the store is because someone drugged him and made him rob the store. And I'm like, honey,
I'm horrified.
He's a drug addict. He drugged himself to go rob the store. Oh, anyway,
I'm trying to process the fact that
the level of delusion.
Wow.
And I felt so bad because I was like, oh no.
And the worst part of it is that he's a man. So somehow he could potentially get himself into a position that he's not worthy for.
Yes. Okay. So anyway, that just reminded me of that story because she was like, I'll just be a veterinarian or the president. And so then she's like going around and trying to get a job at an office, and people are really mean and they won't hire her. They're like, you don't have any experience. She get all dressed up? Yes. Yeah. She's wearing like a cute little like business suit, skirt suit. And, you know, I'm probably thrifted or whatever. Yeah, like, it doesn't look super fancy, cute. But it's like she's trying. She and is. I think she had her little resume with her, but like it doesn't have that much on it because she hasn't really like had a regular job.
Yeah.
And everyone's mean. This one guy, I understand where he was coming from. She like applies to work at like a law office, and he is like so condescending and rude to her. Like, yeah. He's like, oh, you're from, I think it's like Palm Beach or whatever. Yeah. It's like, well, let me tell you, when you decide that the party's over, you don't get to just come in and join what all of us worked our whole lives for. Mm-hmm. And like, he's just very rude to her. Mm-hmm. And I don't think she was applying to be a lawyer. I think she was applying to like work to be in the office, yeah, like a receptionist or something. But anyway, he was just so rude and condescending. And then she's like, hey, fuck you. And then she throws a chair or something dramatic. And I was like, okay, she probably shouldn't have done that, because then he's like, oh, I'm so sad I didn't hire you now. But at the same time, I'm like,
he needed to be humble. She needed to,
I don't like that guy. So anyway, she's like all bummed because she was trying really hard to get a regular job. And then she sees a newspaper like on the street or whatever, and it talks about the guy that she killed, the evil rapist guy. Yeah. And so it says his body was found. So she's like, ooh.
She's like, ooh, they found that?
Yeah. And then that actually, I think a little bit before that, this asshole cop picks her up and makes her do sex stuff, like give him a
because
blowjob.
He's already picked her up before. Yeah. And he's like, if you don't want to go to jail, then you know what to do. And she's like, I'm not doing that anymore.
I know.
Like, I'm trying to get a, you know, that. And then I feel like that shows that, like, even though as hard as she's trying to do that, it's what she's like sort of being forced to do
from
everybody. Like, in that situation, but like by the person that she loves too.
I know. And like, that should be the one person that is like in her corner.
Yeah.
And supporting her. In her. And telling maybe her, like, not we're that she could be a veterinarian with no school, but you know, that she can get like
that she can get a different job.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that cop was an asshole. As we've said before, ACAB. So then she goes home to Selby. And Selby's like throwing a fit, being so dramatic, trying to cut the cast off of her arm because she's so sure that she cannot find a job with a broken arm. I feel like it would be harder if she had a broken leg because she like can't really like walk.
Yeah,
well,
but you can walk. You can use one hand. You're fine, girl.
Yeah, I've seen people working with like a cast before. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like she could get a job.
They just have like modified duties. You can still get a fucking job.
Yeah. Okay. So then Lee tells her the truth about how she killed that evil guy. And she's like, that's why, like, I haven't been wanting to do it. And I've been, like, kind of weird and freaked out. And then Lee seems to kind of just decide, whatever, I just have to go back to sex work. Like, I have to because I have no other options.
Yeah.
And so then we see her working again, getting picked up. She kills another guy and steals his car. After that, she comes home and makes it rain on Selby.
Yes!
And then they have
sex. She's like, look at this murder money.
Yeah. Then they have sex and they tell each other they love each other. And the song playing is Crimson and Clover by Joan Jett. And I love that song. I know that's a cover,
I
talked about that Andrea Gibson poem that talks about, do you remember the first time that we didn't have to change like the pronouns in a song? And I always felt like that with Crimson and Clover because I'm like, this is a woman singing and she's like, I don't hardly know her.
Yeah.
But I think I could love her. And I'm like, oh, gay. And I love Joan Jett. I think she's so hot, even though she's
She's older now, but she's still fucking hot.
And has had a lot of plastic surgery, I think. She's still hot. I love her. Yes. and so then they move to like a nicer place, like a little like studio, one bedroom house. Mm-hmm. And they're living their best lives. They go to a diner and Leah is like so proud to be with Selby, which is really cute.
Yeah.
She's just like wants to take on this like provider protector role. And then they're smoking at the diner and the waiter's like, you can't. And Lee freaks out and pushes him because I feel like she's like, don't tell my woman what to do.
Yeah.
Like, you
she's
know,
like, we can back the fuck up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so that was interesting, but it's just an example of how she doesn't have, if we couldn't tell, she doesn't really have like, she's not very emotionally regulated, right? Yes. Like she has had a lot of things happen and I don't feel like she's been offered a lot of resources and mental health assistance mm-hmm. in her life either. And she's just had to figure out how to like deal.
Mm-hmm.
So then we cut to seeing Lee practice with her gun again. And then she ends up meeting this like nice, awkward man who is – he plays the bad guy in Identity, yeah. Which is one of my favorites.
I was like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I did not. Okay.
Have you seen that?
No. But
no. You haven't seen Identity?
No.
Oh, my God. It's so good. It's with John Cusack and Amanda uh-huh. Peet. And mm-hmm. it's like a scary movie. They like are at they all end up at like a hotel, like mm-hmm. in the middle of nowhere.
Wait, is this where like that person has like multiple?
Shh. You're ruining it for everyone.
I'm sorry, guys. If you haven't figured out here, there's gonna be spoilers. But I think I have seen that.
Yes,
one.
Yes, it's so good.
I remember. As and soon this, as you said Identity, I was
yeah,
like,
yeah, okay, it's really good. This actor plays the bad guy. Whatever. Okay, so the guy that she decides not to kill is the guy that plays the bad guy in Identity. He just seems very, like, awkward and nice. And she's trying to, like, get him to say creepy things because usually if she
yeah.
says, like, something to them, they'll be like, yeah, I like it rough. I want to push you around, you know? And then she's, like, feels justified because they're, yeah. like, bad.
Or where they're, like, creepy and she's just, like, you know, I bet you're, like, this or that or whatever.
But one guy was, like, call me daddy. And she's, like, why? You like to fuck
your kids?
She's, like, why?
You like to fuck your kids?
He's, like, what?
He's, like, wait, what?
Well, it is – I do think it's weird, though, even though I say it yeah. as a joke. But, like, I would never – I know not yucking anyone's yum, but, like, if I called my wife daddy or, like – puppy.
Oh my God.
She would probably freak out. She'd be like, ew.
She'd be like, Caitlin, don't ever
don't
call
ever
me that.
Say that.
Like, seriously.
Yeah. So, anyway, interesting. And so she doesn't kill that one nice guy, but she does kill other guys. She goes on a spree, and Selby doesn't know. I feel like Selby mm-hmm. knows. Selby decides to take the car on a joyride to a lesbian bar, and she tries to make friends by acting like Lee. Like, she yes. steals her story about, like, yelling at the guy and throwing mm-hmm. the chair and stuff. And anyway, she comes home, and Lee is really mad because, obviously, the car belongs to a dead person. Mm-hmm. How did Selby not know she was still doing this? I don't know. I feel like she was playing dumb.
Selby's like, wait, what? You're still doing this?
Oh, my God.
Girl, how do you think this – okay.
She's so whiny and annoying.
I'm like, I can hear her
whining
voice.
About murder.
I can hear her voice, but she's like, Lee. You know her like typical
she's
Christina
like,
well, she's,
she gives me this like she's sad, like ugly cry face. I'm like, stop. Okay, so then Lee is like, I want to do fun stuff. Like, I want to go to like Fun World.
Yeah.
And so she's like, well, you want to go to Fun World? I'll take you to Fun World. So then she does take her to Fun World, which looks like just like a fair. And Selby like basically ditches her to go hang out with
fuck her for
other
that. I always
friends,
hated her for
which
that.
Is so rude.
Yeah.
And I feel like I don't know if they really talked about it, but I feel like Lee is kind of used to people being embarrassed of her. I think
yes.
she said something about her siblings being embarrassed of
like
her.
Like, no one wanted to be seen with her because they knew, like, her reputation.
Yeah.
But even, like, how she presents herself where, like, Selby's family, friends, whatever, where, like, she's a street person. Like, you could tell, like, she's no good or whatever.
Yeah.
It broke my heart to see that Selby, mm-hmm. the person that Lee is so, like, proud to show off and be like, this is my girl. She's embarrassed. I mean, she's just like, yeah. you know, like, we're going to go hang out and do that. And, like, yeah. without her, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
It was so rude. And then, I was like, her, she ditches Lee even though she's literally killing people to support
for her.
Her. What a cunt.
Yeah, exactly.
So basically, at the end, they, like, do meet up at Fun World and,
yeah.
like, Lee is like forgiving of her because I feel like she's used to people being embarrassed by her. And she's like fucked up. Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, so basically she's been on like this killing spree, killing Johns to support herself and Selby. And then one day they're driving and Selby crashes the car into someone's yard and they try to run away because obviously the car is like stolen from a dead person. Selby. Yeah, I know. She makes me so mad. The family or whatever that lived there did see them though. And yes. They're like, no, it's fine. I can start it. And like Lee starts it up and then they go like drive away and like ditch it somewhere. And Selby's like, I don't want to walk. Because she's like, we're going to have to walk. And she's like, no, I don't want to walk. I want to drive. And I'm like, why are you so lazy? Like,
we can already tell. Yeah, exactly.
And so then Lee kind of feels like she needs to tell her, like, this car belongs to a dead man. Like, I've been killing people. Like, and then I wrote about that I liked Selby's Dickies and tank top and that she looked really cute.
Oh, yeah. She did look really cute, but she is a fucking cunt.
She's annoying. Yeah. But I went and bought Dickies because I wanted to I liked her style, fashion.
Not the personality.
Exactly. And so then I think when they're at home, Lee shows Selby all the newspaper articles she's been saving about all the victims. And she's like, you definitely knew. And Selby's like, I didn't know. And she's like, yes, you did.
She's like, girl, don't play dumb with me. You knew.
Yeah. And then Lee is wearing a cool wolf shirt, like one of those wolf shirts. And I love those. And I was like, I want to buy one of those for my wife.
Oh, my God.
And Selby tells Lee that she can't kill people, and Lee's like, who says men are bad? Like, I don't know that she said that, but I wrote, men are bad and treated her like shit. Who fucking cares?
Yeah.
So Lee makes a good point. She says people kill each other for dumb shit all the time, and they're viewed as heroes when they kill for, like, religion or whatever, or politics, and I kill rapists, and somehow I'm bad. And I'm like,
she's making all great points here.
Exactly, this is what I've been saying. And so Lee's like, you know what? I've been saving money. We just need to do a little bit more, and then we can get out of here and start a new life. Like, I'll buy you a house by the beach or whatever that she wanted. And so then the next day, Selby meets up with Donna, that like bitch lady that was the family friend. And she's like, I just want you to know that we're leaving and you can tell my family, like, we're going to move away. Donna talks shit about Lee. And then she also says the N-word, which is weird and racist. I don't even know why she said that. I don't remember.
I don't remember either, but I do remember.
Whatever. She's basically saying that people with bad lives choose to have bad lives. And then I wrote, is Donna a secret gay? Because she keeps saying, like, you need security and stability, even if you have to sleep with a man to get it. And it made me think, does she feel like she's being with a man for security? And
she probably
does. She doesn't really like them. I don't know. So that was interesting. Then we see Lee find out that one of the guys she killed is a cop. And so she doesn't steal his car and she runs home to ask Selby, like, to pack up stuff that they need to move. And only take all the stuff that can fit on a bus because they don't have a car. And Selby's like, no. And Selby's like, go get another car. And so basically she's telling her to go kill another guy to go get another car. And like, I just really don't like her. She's
The audacity.
Yes. And so like the cops are starting to close in on them. The people that they crashed into their yard that saw them, they describe them and then there are sketches of them on the news. And Lee goes to kill one last guy. It's sad because he's the only one that actually seems like a nice person. And he was not even picking her up for sex stuff. He was just trying to be nice. And but she is at this point of like desperation. Where she's like, I'm gonna get caught if I don't do this. Also, Selby, I have to have Selby. Like, she is the love of my life. And so she does kill him. I think she almost didn't kill him, but he saw the gun and she's like, fuck,
that's when she's like, I could have let you go.
She's like, I had to do it. Then Lee ends up buying a bus ticket for Selby to go home. So basically, they're like breaking up. At the bus stop. And Lee is crying because she feels bad for what she's done. Also, I think because she can't have Selby anymore because Selby is leaving. She's asking Selby for forgiveness and also asking her, like, to come back to her at some point. And she saying, yeah, I will, but I feel like they both know that that's not going to happen. Yeah. And then the bus drives away with Selby on it. And then I think it's supposed to be the same night or sometime soon after, we cut to Lee being drunk at the bar, like her regular favorite bar.
Yeah.
And some creepy like biker dudes are trying to talk to her. And her friend Tom, who is like the guy that gave her the sandwich, the manager of the storage place, he's like, come on, let's go outside. He's trying to get her to go like out to the back of the bar.
Mm-hmm.
And he tries to get her to go in the car with him because mm-hmm. I feel like he knows that the cops are like onto her. Something sketchy is happening. And he's trying to help her, but she is so used to men being creepy. She thinks that he's trying to like take advantage of her. Yeah. Like she's like, you have a wife. Why are you doing this? That's like, not like, you. Like, yeah. What the fuck, Tom? And she's like, I can't leave anyway because Selby's going to call me, like, at the bar or whatever, because they didn't have cell phones yet, because this was the 90s, the early 90s. And so, anyway, so then she goes – those guys convince her to, like, walk outside the bar in the front, and then they were totally, like, undercover cops or hired by the cops or whatever, because as soon as they get her outside, the cops come and, like, get her. Mm-hmm. And arrest her. And then we see her in jail and she calls Selby and she's talking to Selby. And Selby, as I said, I hate her. She set her up on a recorded line and gets her to confess. She's like egging her to confess. Like, I don't remember the exact wording, but she's like
didn't you? Did it? Yeah. And Lee, I feel like, picks up on that and is like, yeah, I did it all and you knew nothing about it.
It's so sad. She loves her so much.
Yeah.
And so then they show Lee in court. So we're flashing forward to like her actually being tried. They play the fucked up confession and Selby testifies against her. They show Selby like point at her. And it's so sad. They have this like meaningful eye contact and it's just fucked up because obviously Lee loves her so much. And the movie ends with her famous outburst that I talked about where she's saying she tells the judge to rot in hell for sending a rape woman to death. And basically it ends with like her going into prison and then it tells you at the end that like she had just been put to death. Also it says that Eileen and Selby never spoke again. Which I feel like we could tell was going to happen, but it's so sad. Yeah.
It's so sad.
I love this movie, but it's such a downer.
I'm so sorry.
I was like, oh my God, I'm so excited. And now it's so sad. But it's really good. It won awards for a reason.
Yeah.
And you know, I mean, I don't know if, have you watched any of like the documentaries about
I watched the documentary on her and I watched her interview, but then I watched another like it's not like it was a movie on her, but they sort of labeled it as like a documentary, but it was like with actors and stuff.
Was it the really bad one when she was young?
Yes. And it was like a girl that looks like nothing like her. And it was showing that like it was trying to show a different story because there's so many opinions on her that either one, she obviously was like forced into this lifestyle and this like it explains the reason why she made these decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other part of it, they were like, it's calculated. She's always been this way. She's covering her tracks. She deserved to die. Which I don't agree with. So
no. Well, also, maybe we'll have another fun topic someday. We can talk about our views on the death penalty.
Yeah.
Since we're talking about such deep things. But no, I watched one documentary or like docuseries, and the cop that like detective, whatever, that ended up being like a big part of catching her was such a disgusting pig. He was like, he talked about when he like met her at the bar and he was undercover and he was like, she just kept crying about her fat, ugly dyke girlfriend. And I was like, you're just also a fat, ugly dyke. And why all you do is cry about your fat, ugly dyke girlfriend. Like he kept saying fat, ugly dyke. And I was like, this man is fat and ugly. He's just mad because these women don't want him. Like, why are you so disgusting?
What a way to be speaking about people as a police officer, which is like it's so like, on brand, obviously.
If things are supposed to be like fair and you're innocent until proven guilty, but he already decided
there's a bias already. Yeah. He already just doesn't like her in general.
Yeah, because she's a fat, ugly dyke.
Yeah.
The moment you've all been waiting for, I did think about not doing Munch Merge Murder because it centers on murder. But I wanted to do it because I wanted to talk about the hot characters. So yeah. We're doing it anyway. Mm-hmm. Munch, Merge, Murder. Lee, Selby, and Donna. Go.
Okay, I feel like it's really obvious.
I know.
I'm going to merge with Lee. Yeah. I'm going to munch Selby and then murder Donna.
Yeah.
I almost wanted to murder Selby for a second.
I know.
But I dislike Donna too. So I feel like she kind of has to go. Selby can be like a one night stand. And then Lee, obviously, you know. What about you?
I agree. I think like at least, even though I don't like Selby as a person, she's gay.
Yeah,
at least she's gay and has cute style. I think I've seen the real Selby and she looks nothing like Christina Ricci.
Yeah, but because they did such a good job with Charlize Theron and for Eileen. Mm-hmm. But for Selby, I'm like, okay, they definitely went off track.
No, she looks nothing like Christina Ricci. And it also makes me think of, I know you haven't really seen it, but Orange is the New Black was like based off of real people, at least like the first few characters, whatever. Mm-hmm. Alex Voss, who's played by Laura Prepon, she looked nothing like that. Like, I remember when the show came out and they showed the real person and I was like, oh.
You're like, oh, that's very loosely based.
Yeah. On I was like, not exactly what I would have thought, but that's okay. Yeah. But I do feel like part of it was the appealing to the male gaze type of thing because
like, it's Christina Ricci.
They made, in Orange is the New Black, they made, you know, Alex Voss, mm-hmm. the real person was very butch. Mm-hmm. And the character was like femme rockabilly, but she had like dom like energy. She had like top energy, but she was definitely like feminine. So anyway, I just thought it was interesting. I love to talk about other shows that you haven't really seen.
But we should do like a watch party and I think watch so Orange too. Is the New Black. Let us know if you guys want that because I want to, but I also don't want to start it. And then I'm like, oh my God, it's not new to me anymore because
I know. We're waiting. We're waiting for you guys to tell us if you want it.
All we need is one yes.
Yes, exactly.
And we'll do it.
Yeah. Okay. So we need to rate this movie on a scale of 1 to 5. What would you rate it?
I would rate this movie a 5 out of 5 cherries.
Me too. I love it. It's one of my favorites. I just feel like it's really well done. I think they did a good job of humanizing the characters, but I don't think they went too biased on her because they did show like like the last guy that she killed. And I thought it was really good. I also felt like there weren't that many movies where there were lesbian storylines, but they weren't like the main thing was that it was about lesbians. Yeah. Like it just happens to have a lesbian love story on the side. It's more like a crime thriller.
It's a crime thriller for sure.
So I thought that was interesting. But 5 out of 5, of course, one of my faves. I've been quoting it incorrectly for 20-something years. Yeah. So if you're enjoying But I'm a Lesbian, please head over to our Instagram and TikTok and follow to stay up to date on our newest episodes and hottest takes. Follow at But I'm a Lesbian Pod on TikTok, Instagram, and even Facebook.
Welcome back and get ready for our next segment. What's up with the heteros?
Yeah, what is up with them?
So for this, we wanted to do Am I the Asshole Reddit story. But obviously, this is a straight couple because I don't think a gay couple would ever with this. So basically, right? Am I the asshole for kicking my boyfriend out after he acted jealous over my cat? Which I think is pretty obvious. No, you're not the asshole.
No.
Your boyfriend's the asshole.
Yes.
So they said this was originally posted on Am I the Asshole? But this is – I specifically looked for relationship and straight couples. They said, so I, 24, female, and my boyfriend, who I'll call Nathan, 26, male, Nathan, such a fucking douchey name, have been together for around 2 years. I got my cat Toby 6 years ago, and I love him with all my heart.
Baby Toby.
Yeah. I'm like picturing Toby.
I picture him gray and like a little chubby.
Yeah.
And like just a cute little fluffy guy.
Yeah. last night, Nathan came over to my apartment, and this was posted about 5 days ago, so very recent, guys, okay? Last night, Nathan came over to my apartment, and we were just sitting on my couch watching Netflix while eating snacks. Pretty standard stuff. Toby eventually jumped onto the couch and started trying to cuddle me, as cats do. Nathan seemed to get a bit pissed off at this, but I ignored it and started cuddling Toby. After a few minutes, he started subtly trying to push Toby off of me. I got really confused at this and asked, what the hell was he doing? He started talking about how Toby was taking all of my attention and that he felt unloved. Mind you, I didn't stop being affectionate with him while cuddling Toby. My head was on his shoulder and I was holding his hand with my free one. So, like, she's holding his hand and on, like, laying her head on his shoulder, and then Toby petting him with the other one. So it's not like she's like, fuck my boyfriend, like, here's my cat only, which is totally acceptable too, in my opinion. But she is still showing him affection. And so she said, I told him that he was being ridiculous. And he said, I'm not being ridiculous. You just like that dumb cat more than me. I was pissed. Called him
dumb?
Yeah.
Little Toby, he's a smart boy.
Right? He's literally doing nothing wrong. He's doing, oh my God. So I was pissed. And can you guys already guess what we think about this? I was pissed and tired at this point. So I just asked him to leave my apartment. He's been blowing up my phone ever since he got home, saying stuff like, I can't believe you kicked me out over that stupid cat. And all I wanted was for you to pay attention to me. I haven't responded yet.
Playing the victim much? Oh, I just wanted your attention.
And not even that, maybe whatever his little outburst was, he could have apologized and been like, you know, I'm definitely in the wrong here. But no, he didn't double down. He said, I can't believe you kicked me out over that stupid cat.
Yeah. No.
No.
Well, I'm going to tell you that I would never be with someone that didn't love cats. So this would probably have never ever happened.
Yeah.
But she's not the asshole. Somebody absolutely that is going not to call the cat names is probably not a person that you want to be with.
Mm-hmm.
Also, she was still paying attention to him.
Yeah.
And I just want to say that, like, we have a lot of animals, my wife and I.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, there have definitely – maybe we're more on the extreme side, but, like, we put their comfort above ours. Like, mm-hmm. They're, like, sleeping on the bed. We're, like, all uncomfortable in weird positions. Sometimes we want to make out and do stuff, and we can't because the dog won't move off the bed. She wants to be in the middle, so we're like, oh, sorry, I love you, but can't do anything tonight. So I'm just saying, like, she was still paying attention to him. So
exactly. She was more multitasking. Than I would've done. Yeah. She was multitasking. And that the crazy thing about that is that they had been dating for 2 years. She had Toby for 6 years, so obviously before him. And he never showed, like, that until literally she posted it. And it was last night that he, like, got fed up. So he must have felt that way.
Exactly.
And then it was just, like, a buildup. And then he let it, you know, he let it out during that time. And she was just like, no, what the fuck? That's weird.
Yeah, I was thinking that, too. Like, he had pent-up resentment.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't say anything about it, and then he did. I want to know, what's his sign?
Oh my God. No, she didn't post anything else.
I know. I'm like, she didn't post his sign.
The comments are all like, he's jealous of your cat. That's red weird. Flag. He's a loser. And I'm like, yeah, everyone's saying, like,
well, I'm glad people agree with
dump,
us.
They're everyone's saying, dump that loser. It's a red flag for him to be treating or speaking that way or just even feel that way because it's giving, I want your attention only on me, focus.
Yeah. And if it's over a cat. Potential abusive behavior because it's like, I need you isolated from everyone.
Yeah. Even your cat. Which is fucking crazy.
Yeah.
So in a way, I'm sad that she is with somebody like that, that's who their true colors are.
Yeah.
But good because now I guess she has a lot of people supporting her.
Yeah.
And saying dump him, including us.
She's going to dump him and be like, all these people on Reddit agreed that you're the asshole here.
I'm waiting for the little, like, do you know update. When they do the update, like, whatever, I dumped him. And I'm like, it's not happened yet, guys. So she's probably getting over a breakup, I hope.
Yeah, for sure.
Oh.
Well, I am glad that we found that one. Yeah. And I'm glad that other people agreed. And I hope she does break up with him.
Yeah.
So I think we're at the end of this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. We are But I'm a Lesbian podcast. We are your go-to for sapphic media reviews, WLW drama, and unfiltered queer takes. If you enjoyed the show, please like, share, and subscribe on every platform. Yes, all of them, if you can. Leave us a review to help support the queer community and keep this lesbian-led pod thriving. After all, the algorithm's a bitch, and we're just two lesbians with mics out here trying to survive.
Don't miss next week's episode. We will be discussing a fan favorite, Debs.
Yay!
I love this movie. So it's available to rent on YouTube, Amazon Prime, and Apple TV. Or if you're an old school lesbian, you have it on DVD like Caitlin.
Yes, I have to plug in my DVD player so I can watch it, but I do have it on DVD. So we will see you next Tuesday. Executive producers for But I'm a Lesbian are Caitlin Beatty and Angelina Herrera. Produced and mixed by Victoria Shiflett. Creative direction and video editing provided by Juanita Iriarte. Music by Stiletto Falsetto.